Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, the 19th of July, Pope Leo sends a telegram to victims and families of those affected by a mall flyer in Iraq. Brazil's ex-president faces stricter regulations ahead of his upcoming trial. And Cardinal Pietro Parolin describes the situation in Gaza as unbearable in an interview with Italian TV. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. Pope Leo has expressed his spiritual solidarity with victims of a shopping center fire in Iraq, saying he is praying for those who died and for their families. Christopher Wells tells us more.
Pope Leo XIV has assured victims of a shopping center fire in Iraq of his spiritual solidarity, expressing his closeness especially to those injured in the tragedy and to the families of those who lost loved ones. A telegram signed by Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin says the Holy Father commends the souls of the deceased to the loving mercy of the Almighty, and he offers his prayers for the emergency personnel who continue to provide assistance, while invoking upon all the divine blessings of strength, consolation, and peace. At least 69 people were killed when a fire broke out in a new shopping center in the Iraqi city of Kut in Wasit province in eastern Iraq. 11 other people have been reported missing. The mall, which had opened just 5 days earlier, included a hypermarket and a restaurant where people were shopping and dining when the fire broke out. Civil defense teams rescued 45 people from inside the building. In a statement, the governor of Wasit province said, "A tragedy and a calamity have befallen us," and he announced a 3-day period of mourning. The statement said an investigation into the fire had been launched, with results promised within 48 hours. Lawsuits have already been filed against the owner of the building and the mall. I'm Christopher Wells.
Staying with news from the Middle East, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Holy See's Secretary of State, has spoken out on the terrible humanitarian situation due to the war in Gaza and remembered the victims of the Israeli shelling of the Church of the Holy Family just days ago. He made comments in an interview he gave to a news program hosted by the RAI, Italy's public broadcaster. Cardinal Parolin emphasized that a political will is needed to end the war and the heavy toll it is taking on everyone there. Thaddeus Jones has more in this report.
In the phone conversation with Italy's public broadcaster and its news program, TG2 Post, Cardinal Parolin spoke of Gaza, where there is a war without any limits and where every barrier has been crossed, marking it as a very serious development. He also spoke about the recent attack on Thursday by the Israeli military on the Church of the Holy Family in Gaza, which caused 3 deaths and 10 injuries, including the parish priest, Father Gabriel Romanelli. He called for transparency regarding the investigation underway to determine what happened. And concerning the many ongoing wars in our world, he reiterated that the Holy See is always open to mediation, but that mediation only works when both sides are open to it and accept it. Cardinal Parolin also commented on the phone call that took place yesterday between the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Pope Leo, saying he believed the conversation was necessary and appropriate, both to explain to the Pope directly what happened regarding the bombing of the church and to express the gravity of the incident. He said it's a positive gesture, and he hopes that there'll also be follow-up regarding it, including the results of the promised investigation, that be known, and that the results of the investigation eventually be shared publicly. He also expressed hopes that words will turn into action so that the situation in Gaza may improve as soon as possible, given that the situation is unbearable. He reacted to the humanitarian tragedy in the land, saying, "How can a population like that of Gaza be destroyed and starved like this?" And he noted how many boundaries have been crossed in this war, expressing his hopes for dialogue and peace. He reiterated the openness to the Holy See offering assistance, as it has done on several other occasions. At the same time, he acknowledged how difficult it is to take further steps, because in using the word mediation in its technical sense, it only works when both parties are open to it and accept it. And he said there must be a willingness from each of the two sides in the conflict to accept the Holy See's mediation when both sides are open to it. And he emphasized that a political will, again, is needed to end the war, knowing that the cost of war is terrible for everyone in every way. In conclusion, he expressed hopes that there will truly be a ceasefire soon in Gaza, where the people are suffering unbearably. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
A delegation from the EU Bishops' Commission has returned to Brussels following a solidarity visit to Ukraine. The goal of the trip, one bishop who took part said, was to witness firsthand the wounds inflicted upon this land and its people by Russia's brutal war of aggression. During the trip, the delegation, which was composed of three officials from the Commission of the Bishops' Conferences of the European Union, or COMESE, visited multiple charity projects and humanitarian organizations. They attended the funeral of a soldier and met with the heads of the country's Greek, Catholic, and Latin churches. Father Manuel Barrios Prieto, COMESE General Secretary, spoke to Vatican Radio about the visit and the Catholic Church's work for peace in Ukraine.
The theme of the four-day assembly of the Byzantine Catholic Archeparchy of Pittsburgh is Come, let us worship and bow down before Christ. The Archeparchy, or Chief Eastern Diocese, of Pittsburgh is one of only two in the United States. The Pittsburgh Archeparchy traces its roots back to 1924, when it was the first Greek Catholic exarchate in the country. In his message to the Assembly, Pope Leo XIV described the meeting as a precious opportunity to grow in unity and to reaffirm the Assembly's commitment to the Lord. The Pope pointed out that through liturgical celebrations, prayers and dialogue, the Assembly would be an opportunity for the group to continue with their steadfast witness to Christ and proclamation of the Gospel in the vibrant tradition of the Byzantine Catholic churches. The Pope explained that by bringing together the clergy, religious and lay faithful, together with representatives from the Exarchate of Toronto and the Dicastery for the Eastern Churches, the Assembly offered a, quote, visible sign of communion in the Church. The Pope then expressed his gratitude to the Assembly's forebears, who, he said, established Byzantine Catholic communities throughout North America, in spite of difficulties and an unknown future. The Pope said the legacy was continued by the Assembly's courageous embrace of pastoral renewal, which, he said, is rooted in fidelity to its heritage. Bringing the message to a close, Pope Leo stressed his spiritual closeness to the Byzantine community in the United States and entrusted the Assembly to the Virgin Mary. I'm Joseph Tullock.
And turning to world news, a tourist boat capsized during a sudden thunderstorm in Vietnam on Saturday afternoon during a sightseeing excursion, killing 18 people and leaving nearly two dozen others missing, state media reported. The Wondersea boat carrying 48 passengers and five crew members during the tour of Ha Long Bay, a popular destination for visitors. Rescue workers saved 12 people and recovered the 18 bodies near the site of the capsizing. And looking to South America, Brazil's justice system is cracking down on former President Jair Bolsonaro, imposing a curfew and ordering him to wear an ankle tag in advance of him standing trial accused of treason. James Bleers reports on this current leg of the proceedings.
Jair Bolsonaro, who survived an attempted assassination stabbing, was president of Brazil from 2019 to 2022. He's accused of plotting a coup to prevent President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva from taking up office in January 2023. Bolsonaro denies any wrongdoing and says it's a witch hunt. He's also banned from all social media and forbidden from contacting his son Eduardo, who's been lobbying for him in the United States. U.S. President Donald Trump is threatening to impose 50% tariffs on all Brazilian goods starting August the 1st, insisting the case should be dismissed. President Lula is warning that Brazil is a sovereign state which won't allow interference or intervention, stressing no one is above the law. If convicted, Bolsonaro, aged 70, could be sent to prison for decades. He calls all the charges baseless and a crude attempt plus political ploy to prevent him contesting next year's presidential election. His lawyers are describing these latest restrictions on his movements as heavy-handed and unnecessary, as he will not leave Brazil. For Vatican Radio, James Bleers reporting.
The Syrian presidency has announced an immediate ceasefire in the southern city of Sueda to try and bring an end to a week of sectarian violence that has left hundreds dead. There have been chaotic gun battles on the city streets between the local Bedouin tribesmen and the Druze community, with both accused of atrocities. Syria's interim president said this moment requires unity of ranks and complete cooperation in order to overcome what we are all going through. Whether the ceasefire will be upheld on the ground is unclear, with unverified reports on Saturday suggesting tribal fighters were already violating the agreement. The ceasefire announcement came as Syrian internal security forces were deployed to Suweida to end the clashes, a move approved by Israel along as the Druze citizens were protected. Suweida's Druze community are a minority in Syria, as well as in neighboring Israel and Lebanon. According to the UK-based Syrian Observatory on Human Rights, 718 people have been killed since the violence erupted on Sunday. The clashes initially started between Bedouin fighters and Druze factions before drawing in government security forces that were sent to the area. And now we will actually hear from the delegation of EU Bishops Commission, which has returned from Brussels following a solidarity visit to Ukraine. And this interview with Father Manuel Barrios Prieto, Commese Secretary General, who spoke to Vatican Radio about this visit and the Catholic Church's work for peace in Ukraine. During this trip, the delegation, which was composed of three officials from the Commission, met with multiple charity projects and humanitarian organizations, attended the funeral of a soldier, and met with the heads of the country's Greek Catholic and Latin churches.
The Catholic Church is very, very active on the ground. It has centers to help veterans. It has centers to help widows. It gives the possibility of treatment to people that are suffering mental consequences of the war. Putting forward initiatives for reconciliation also on an ecumenical level. And also I would say it's very important also what the church does as church in itself, because in that funeral, for example, of this soldier, the word that was given, the preaching that was delivered in that funeral, based on that word of the gospel, no one has greater love than the one who gives his life for the other person. From that text of the gospel, I think a very touching homily came out of these heroic soldiers that are giving their lives for others. So the word that the church gives, it's the word of God, is really the only word that can give us hope and console us in this. The church is doing a lot on the local level. As Comesse, speaking as Comesse, as the Commission of the Bishops' Conference of the European Union, I think we have a very important mission. And we were told that we have this mission to be witnesses of what we lived. We have this very important mission of trying to advocate before the EU institutions for a just end of this war, for peace. And I would say even more, we have the mission of asking the EU to fulfill its role. The EU has to become a bit, not only more active, it has to assume its role of being a protagonist in the international scenario. And at the moment, it is not. So it is also part of our mission as Comesse.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our Vatican News website, our Facebook, X, and Instagram accounts, where you can follow along with Pope Leo XIV during all his upcoming events as the 266th successor to St. Peter. Many thanks today go to the great Luca Rossi, our studio engineer. And of course, a special thanks to all of you for listening. And be sure to join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.